CliffCentral.com.
Justice Malala's here. It's time for the burning platform. We've got so much that we want to find out from you this morning. So there was absolutely no way we could miss this. Here he is.
Burning platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
Morning, Justice.
Morning, guys.
How are you?
All good, all good.
Are you on your way to Dubai or something?
Yeah, that's
everybody's going to Dubai.
Just for the day. Just for the day. You know what? That's how I...
I had no idea this place was so fascinating.
You know, but you can get done a lot done in just one day. That's the thing. You know,
so
take a holiday. What? Can't you play some Madonna? I'm going to go on holiday to Dubai.
You are flying out just now, not to Dubai, somewhere else.
Not to Dubai, just to Cape Town.
Okay, Cape Town. Well, it's almost as exciting. Now, why is everybody going to Dubai? We've got ministers who are stopping off there. We've got the Guptas who've just supposedly fled to there.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. I mean, for me, it's just think about it. So let's say Mabale, you know, you meet up with someone and they act shady once. And then you think, okay, and they act shady second time. And then they act shady three times. Then, I mean, I think that's where you apply the three strikes and you're out. Now, when you think about this trip to Dubai,
yeah,
this trip to Dubai is quite weird.
Tell me why.
Because the Minister of Local Government, Des van Rooyen, says that actually he wasn't appointed before. When he went on this trip, it was a private trip and all that and all that and all that. But we know that he had a friend called Gaddafi Rabutapi.
That's a nice name.
Gaddafi Rabutapi told the Saturday Star that actually, oh no, Des had told me I'd known for about a month that he was going to be the minister.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, there is something to be said here that. So when he went as a private citizen and the Guptas just so happened to be there, he knew he was going to be the minister. So it was all in the pipeline. It was all in the works. The only person who doesn't seem to have known that he's going to lose a job was Nhlanhla Nene. So I'm finding it interesting with these ministers who want me to believe that they are in their jobs purely because they are a mining expert like Museveni Zizwane, or they are fantastic at finance like Des van Rooyen.
Neither of which is true for either.
More and more, the more you look at the facts of all this stuff, you start thinking, guys, there's just too much shade going on around these two. And we just need more. We need an explanation, not just an explanation, but perhaps these guys need to say, you know what? There is too much that's clouding my judgment. That's too much that's around me that I need to step down.
And the truth has a funny way of coming out and embarrassing all the people who lie and lie and lie and lie again to cover it up. I mean, to lie and say that you were just on a holiday for a day is crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, speak for yourself. Some of us like to take just one day off.
All right.
But it's ridiculous. I mean, that he thinks 54 million South Africans are buying that story that I just hopped off for a day.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is the trip to Dubai? 8 hours?
8 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're 2 hours ahead as well.
So, you know...
You're losing that day. You're losing so much in that day. It's more than
This is weird that actually to believe that 54 million of us are buying this story. No one can buy a story that you're going on holiday for a day. For a day. Boom. Something weird, something funny is going on.
We have no idea what that is.
Well, we think there were meetings. There keeps on being allegations of all kinds of things that are going on between people going to Dubai to deliver stuff and whatever. So I think we have to talk about the fact that...
Well, Julius said something strange after the president's trip to the UAE. He said, oh no, he's taken a whole lot of money there. And you know, immediately you think, oh well, Julius is probably, you know, being dramatic and trying to make us all think that the president's worse than he is because it aids his cause. But there's always a grain of truth in these things if they stick.
It's not. It's the fact that we have become so used to the idea that there is underhand stuff, that we've lost so much faith in the ability of that office to uphold, to defend the Constitution, our sovereignty, that when someone like Julius
Malema... Or even just to tell the truth.
Exactly. So when someone like Julius Malema says something like that, we start thinking, maybe there is something to this, because we have lost so much faith, so much trust in that office and in the people around the president. So we have a big problem here, that every time this stuff happens, it scratches away at the credibility that one should have and the faith that one should have in our politicians. It's not good at all, and it just points to a real problem in our politics that will continue for a long time, I think, to come. So the damage that we face is not just short-term, it's long-term in making young people believe that actually politicians can bring about change. Because right now they think, well, these are a bunch of scumbags.
So before we move on to local government, which is Des van Rooyen's portfolio, and obviously there's a municipal election this year which will get people talking, already has people talking about coalitions and all kinds of things. You mentioned this last week. But while we were talking about all of this last week, the company, the family, the cartel that kind of owns the president, just gapped it. They cut and run.
They've cut and run. I was interested in the announcements last week that the family has stepped down from its position, so as the CEO, as directors of the company. But here's the thing. I might be a director of Microphone Inc., and I might be a shareholder. As a shareholder, I own shares, so I can still sit. Well, they decided not to sit on the board, but they still own the businesses. So I'm not quite sure what exactly the resignations mean. I'm not sure that the resignations mean that they don't have influence over those businesses any longer.
Surely they must.
They do.
They are the majority shareholders. Exactly. In fact, they're 100% shareholders, as far as I understand.
In most of these businesses, they are 100% shareholders. Or, when they are not 100% shareholders, the other shareholder is Dudu Zani Zuma, who is the president's son. Mm. And you have to constantly ask yourself, wow, that's amazing. How did you get by those shares? Particularly the ones around the mine in Mpumalanga, which he got 3 weeks before the deal was done, and there was no financial transaction to be seen when he got that massive. In fact, he's become the major shareholder in Tageta, which now owns that mine in Mpumalanga that used to be owned by Glencore. And we know the deal was negotiated in Switzerland with the Minister of Mineral Resources close at hand. As he said, he was saving jobs. He was not negotiating on behalf of the Gupta family. So, you know, I'm not convinced that the Guptas have left the building like Elvis. I think it's a totally different story. I think that they're still controlling those businesses. You don't own a business and not control it, given that your shares are anything from 68 to 100% of that business. So,
And then, of course, the fact that we're reading reports now that the actual target, the big game, would have been Russia and a nuclear deal.
A nuclear deal would have been fantastic for the business, the Shiva Uranium, which is their mining business, which at the moment they've got a mine that is worth, that is valued at 13 billion rand, but it's not mining the commodity that it supposedly mines, and that's uranium. It's waiting for demand for uranium. The demand for uranium will only come through when South Africa has nuclear power stations.
Ah.
Now, you may wonder why we are so keen to build nuclear power stations. Well, maybe it's because we've got a mine that has uranium, so we've got to find a use for the uranium.
And because the people who own that mine happen to be really close to some people in politics.
Funny that. They even appoint cabinet ministers.
In so mining.
The issue here is, do we need a nuclear power station, or do we need a nuclear power station to make sure that we've got a long-term deal that uranium is supplied to that power station? It's a...
You kind of have to admire, though, the setup that they've managed to construct for themselves. It is admirable.
It is a beauty. One of the things that I think we should really admire is the ability to think that far ahead. That, you know what, I'm going to buy this mine, you go to Russia, and then Russia issues a statement saying, but we've got a country-to-country agreement with South Africa. Hmm. So it's not even... It's a long-term game, but it's also so Machiavellian that you can sit there and like plan these things and say, no, the chess moves are like this, and 20 steps down the line, it's, and we South Africans have already, we don't even see it. It's done and dusted.
It's got the crown beneath our feet.
Exactly. So it's in a way it's malevolent, and it's scary.
Now the other things that we wanted to talk about, I mean,
the thing that I wanted to talk about, but I thought, do I want to talk about this? Was Baleka Mbete being asked by some people to run for president? And so she tells us that, you know, I was asked to run for president, but as a good ANC member, I'm not going to talk about it because the process hasn't started. So exactly why are you telling me that they asked you? Because as a good ANC member, you know that people don't want to talk about this.
But hang on a second. If you're going to ask anyone to be president, Baleka Mbete must be like down the queue by a long way, because really and truly, she's got very little credibility at the moment, even as a speaker.
Yes, but...
And she's struggling to maintain any kind of control within parliament. Can you imagine her running the cabinet?
Well, look, I think we might have a much better, far more juiced up driving licensing department.
Oh, that's true.
So, I mean, I sit here and I think, what is it that gives you so much ego? I don't know whether it's ego, it's vanity, that you think, after all that has come before us, the pay back the money campaign in parliament, all the scandals, all these things, what you say right now, Gareth, the failure to bring about the modicum of respectability and dignity to parliament, the fact that the Constitutional Court said on your watch that assembly failed to hold the executive to account, and you still think, oh, you know,
I'm a candidate for president.
I'm a candidate for president, and I'm going to tell the world about it. So I think it's quite it's quite funny in a way that you know, the more you're lambasted, as it were, by institutions, respected institutions of our democracy, and still you know, it's all hunky dory. I might run for president, but what fascinates me is, why does she think that she has a chance? Is it the fact that many people are saying, well, it's time for a woman president? Does she see herself as that woman president? And if she does and believes she has a chance, where does that leave Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma? Does she think she has a chance because Cyril Ramaphosa is not stepping up? So is this going to be a Baleka versus Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma contest?
You see, once we reach a tipping point, then everybody climbs in and doesn't become about Jacob Zuma anymore. Then it's a struggle for power among the others.
Well, and that would be an interesting one, because then it will have shifted Jacob Zuma totally out of the picture, and people in that NEC, which we've again and again said is controlled by him, will begin to look elsewhere.
Correct.
For power. And that might mean actually that Jacob Zuma's exit is planned totally elsewhere and not with him in the room. And that's a new development. That would be a totally new development, because at the moment, every time there's a conversation about resign or step back or step aside, it's with Jacob Zuma or his cronies or people that are close to him in the room. And so that's how you stymie that conversation and bring it to a very, very quick end.
All right, but we do have elections coming up in August. Mm. I think they've decided August the 4th is the day.
August the 3rd is the day. Oh. And I'm looking forward to August the 4th when the results start pouring in. Because think about this. Here in the city of Joburg, 62% the ANC got in 2011.
Right.
I haven't been impressed by the DA's candidate, I have to say. He seems to have run or is running a disjointed campaign.
Herman Mashaba.
But imagine that, okay, he does pretty okay, gets to 44%, say. The EFF, in my view, in this province is going to do pretty well. Because
double digits?
I think they'll go be above 10%. Huh. If they do that, then you have possibly an ANC that has been hammered in Gauteng by the Jacob Zuma scandals, and in Gauteng, the ANC is going to be hammered by the Jacob Zuma scandal.
Even Gwede Mantashe said that.
Even Gwede Mantashe says that. So, I mean, I'm inside. So you have the possibility that on the 4th of August, the day after the election, Julius Malema's phone will be ringing nonstop. It will be, Julius, man, I love you. You are from the ANC. Come on. Let's get together. Let's have a drink. Let's talk about what we can do. We can do amazing things in Joburg. We'll give you the mayorship. So Julius Malema becomes the mayor of Joburg? No. And then, you know, the minute he puts that phone down, it will be Musi Maimane on the phone. My brother, how are you doing? We can work together here. The opposition coming together and so forth and so forth. Same thing will be happening with Tshwane probably, uh-huh. where the ANC has gone from 59 to just below 50 at 49.9 or so. So I think we must prepare ourselves for some interesting coalitions after the elections on August 3rd. Those elections, those coalitions will be, may surprise us. In some places, the ANC might be begging the DA to work with it. But I think in three metros in particular, the city of Joburg, the city of Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay, where the ANC is launching its manifesto this weekend, and I tell you, it's not a mistake. It's not just because PE has such lovely weather. It's because that city is on the verge of going out of the ANC's hands, that the ANC is launching its manifesto there. So those three, I think, are going to be interesting about the EFF and about the DA after the elections, because those are very closely contested.
But just as we've heard the DA say before that they would never form a coalition with the EFF because they believe they're too opposite in terms of their policies, do you think these men will be able to put their egos aside for the sake of numbers, make it a numbers game?
You know, the person who said they would never go into coalition with the EFF was Helen Zille. She's no longer the leader of the party. Musi Maimane has been flip-flopping on this issue for months. At one point, it's like, we'll work with anyone who wants a clean government, and then, oh no, the EFF, this. And I think he's protecting one flank of the DA, and it's the flank that says, oh, these guys want to nationalize my farm, want to expropriate land without compensation, and so forth. But actually, at local level, you can say, we're going to fix the municipality. We're going to fix, on my way here, you know, the traffic lights in Joburg. How many times do you have to talk about the traffic lights? It's just boring now. So if you can get those things.
Ben woke up in the dark this morning. He has no electricity.
But you know, Justice, it's also a question of kind of politics is also about opportunity.
Yeah.
And where there's an opportunity for people to seize power from the ruling party in this case, they will take it. Yeah. And they'll be bedfellows for whatever the price.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting for that. I think that Julius Malema is very clear. He wants a coalition with the DA. He's said this before. And I think it's something that's going to that will materialize if the opportunity presents itself, as you say, Gareth. And so prepare for interesting days ahead after August 4th. The other thing that's going to happen on August 4th is that, you know, all these politicians coming to you saying, yo, be nice to me, vote for me, I'm going to do this. After the 4th, prepare to see silence up until 2018, when suddenly they wake up and realize that, oops, there's an election in 2019. Let's remember that, oh, Ben, I better go and try and get his vote again. But, you know, it's all good.
Well, you know what? I can't wait for that. But I think in the interim, we do have to look at Jacob Zuma's chances in the ANC. And this is the last thing we've got some time for. How are the provinces starting to line up?
You know, it's interesting for me that Gauteng lost to the rest of the nation, the ANC Gauteng lost to the rest of the ANC in other provinces in December 2012, and they were backing Kgalema Motlanthe. They came out this week and said President Zuma must do the right thing. They are being lambasted by essentially the usual suspects who supported President Zuma in 2012 in Mangaung. So KwaZulu-Natal came out and said, don't you know that when the higher structure has spoken, you shut up and listen.
Right.
Mpumalanga, same kind of thing. The Northwest is divided on this issue. The Free State, as you can imagine, given that Ace Magashule's son is in business with the Guptas, was very quick to say, no, 100% support. So what interests me is the fact that the ANC today is still cleaving, is still divided along pretty much the same lines as 2012. So you have something that's going on where you have civil society, the public outside of the ANC structures, basically baying for President Zuma's blood. And inside the ANC, the old blocks, the same formations, are still in place. And therefore, inside the ANC, Jacob Zuma still has the power to stay on in
rules
power.
Rules supreme.
So he continues to have the same blocks supporting him, coming out for him. The leagues, for example, the ANC Women's League, issuing rambling statements at 12:30 in the morning yesterday.
Yeah, and what's going on there?
Well, we seem to be moving to quite a nocturnal political culture where people are fired at night, where statements are issued in the middle of the night, and so forth and so forth.
It's very odd.
But basically, for me, the Gauteng ANC and possibly some parts of the Limpopo ANC, maybe Western Cape ANC, need to think deep and hard about what their future looks like, because at the moment, President Zuma's winning inside the ANC. It will be interesting what happens as the pressure mounts outside of the ANC, whether it's the veterans, the MK generals, whoever, and so forth, put the pressure on. But certainly,
and every day there's another defection.
Every day there's another, there's a new voice, a new defection, and so forth. The other one is that it looks like the ANC in exile and the ANC internally sort of dividing up. A lot of the people, I mean, I was amazed to see Cheryl Carola standing there and Trevor Manuel, and you start thinking, oh, that looks like the UDF.
Right.
And many others are sort of UDF people saying this is not what we bought into. So there's all sorts of cultures developing around all sorts of things, and it will be interesting to see where that goes in the next few months of our politics.
If you were the president now, what's your best case scenario? And what is he hoping for? What would he like to happen? Let's imagine that the elections go the ANC's way. I mean, is that even possible? Is he so unrealistic? I just want to know what he's thinking. Like, what's his end game?
I think his end game is, you know, that two. One is he's hoping that someone will come up and say, President Zuma, thanks so much for everything. Wouldn't it be nice if we said to the next president of South Africa that, you know, let's find some mechanism to pardon, to ensure your immunity, and then let's work on a strategy that says, look what you achieved in turning around the narrative on AIDS in this country.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you championed the election of the first African Union, woman African Union commissioner. How you have championed the cause of 1, 2, 3. We make a quiet exit for you. This is what Bantu Holomisa has been, without being listened to, has been banging on about, that let's find a dignified way for you to, you know,
go and move to Nkandla and just chill.
And I think President Zuma would like to see that. He doesn't want to go to jail. He wants a comfortable retirement. And if someone can find a way to do that, that would be, I think, a comfortable way for him to say, you know what, there's too much controversy around me, I'm stepping down, and others will take over. I don't think that conversation is being had inside the ANC, and so I think there's a bit of a disjuncture there about what needs to happen.
And you said there was a number two, there were two options.
Well, the other one is to do what he's doing now and to say, you know what?
Dig in.
I'm digging in. This is the long haul. And right now, he's winning. But how long will he win? Because either he has to tear up the constitution to stay on forever, or else he will be out of office in, by 2019. And then other people come in, and his hands are no longer on the levers of power, and that is a dangerous situation for him. So the dig-in is no good, because it has a finite a length of time. 2 years, 3 years, he won't have fixed his 783 counts of fraud and corruption. He won't have fixed many other issues that may come up after this. And so the dig-in doesn't work. The dignified exit for him is the one thing that he has to seriously think about. But I don't think he's got the trust in people around him that they will keep to their word.
Well, you know what they say, there's no honor among thieves.
Exactly. In fact, I think right now he's feeling pretty embattled.
Thank you, Justice. Either dignified exit or dig in. Those are the only options for the
exit
president.
Exit or dig in. I'd say you're about right there.
Thank you so much, Justice.
Absolute
Malala.
Pleasure.
And the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's every Thursday morning. And if you're wondering why Justice is here a little bit early this morning, it's because he has to go and catch a flight now. He's got some important stuff to do today, and we didn't want to miss out on the Burning Platform by cancelling it, so we just moved it earlier. If you want to hear the whole thing, the podcast will be up shortly. So if you missed any of that, Justice Malala and the Burning Platform this morning was from 6:30 until 7:00. And Ben's sports coming up, and Anthea is coming up with the Money Show.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.